past 12, let's talk some footy for the next hour. And look, he was just walking past our studios here at SEN, thought he'd pop in the front door. Nick Del Santo's in the studio. Hello, Nick.
Good afternoon, listeners. Good afternoon, Kev. And a happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
And to you. You have a special little day with your young fellas?
I've got two young boys, a 2.5 and a 6-month-old. And long story short, it's been dragging out a little bit over the last week. My little fella and I, 2.5-year-old Jude, his name is, have got a really good relationship. We tell each other everything. We're building this thing on trust. The wife had worded him up not to tell Dad what he was getting for Father's Day.
Okay.
So it's been going all week. I've been trying to bribe him. Come on, mate. Like, you get a lolly or you get chocolate. He's been very good. No, Daddy, you don't know. Anyway, this morning he comes running in and has a cuddle in the morning. I said, oh, it's Father's Day today. Time for me to get the
big
present.
Moment.
I said, can we go down the basement and get it? He said, no, Daddy, you're not getting your tools yet. I said, okay. So the wife rolled the eyes. So he kept a secret for 7 days and then gave it up with about 30 minutes to go. But no, it was very nice. It's very special.
Very good. No, happy Father's Day to all the dads. Good stuff. I've got my, in case you're wondering, if you had any claims to the title, it's all gone because I have Australia's Greatest Dads coffee cup sitting there, which
well
will be filled
during
the afternoon.
Congratulations on that.
Now, we're going to talk some footy between now and 1 o'clock. Lots to talk about. The bye, obviously, is the most obvious way where to start. Are you for it, again it?
Well, I'm almost mixed. I mean, as a player, I loved the continuity of playing week in, week out, to a point.
Yep.
And I actually loved the system where it was the two bye during the year. You know, rounds, for example, round 7 and 14.
Yep.
And some people say, you know, why should you need a break? Your bodies are just getting absolutely beat up. I don't agree with the bye before the finals right now for the reason that I just felt it disadvantages the teams that have qualified in the top four. And that's what the regular season's a qualifying period to get where you want to be in the finals. I think it just evens out the playing field a little bit.
We saw that last year, the most obvious.
I completely understand the reasoning by the AFL, and I was involved in the game at North Melbourne where 10 players were rested.
Yep.
Because we were playing Richmond again the following week. We played 7 days later. I was also involved in the game when Ross Lyon brought the Fremantle under-18 team over to play St Kilda. We won by 100-odd points and completely understand why Ross did it. They went to Geelong the following week, had to travel twice, had to go to Geelong the following week. They couldn't change their position and rolled the Cats at Skilled Stadium. So completely understand the reasoning for it. I'd like to get a bigger spread of years in regards to being able to make an accurate decision on whether it is advantaging or disadvantaging anybody. My initial thoughts is it gives it a bit more of a level playing field. And within that, and what I'm saying by that is, if you're the top four, you love the opportunity to have the double chance. And that's why you're there.
Yes.
Having a week off gives those teams an opportunity to have the rest. And I heard Port Adelaide speak in the last week. They're thrilled that there's a break because they had a break the first week by, you know, it was split over the 3 weeks. So they've played 15 games in a row. Some teams might have only played 12 or, you know, whatever the difference is. It also helps or doesn't help individuals. And you look at the Bombers, for example, right now, they've got two or three players that are trying to get through the week off to be able to recover. You look at Joel Selwood, a week off has absolutely helped him. So if you're playing those clubs, you hate the bye. You'd prefer to go in against the Bombers if you're the Sydney Swans and Hurley doesn't play, Hooker doesn't play, and Orazio doesn't play. That's a bit, as much as you want to say we
happy
want to play
Christmas.
Their best team, you're happy if a few of them are missing. So I'd like to just get a bigger spread of years to be able to understand whether it is advantaging or disadvantaging anybody.
Does it take the wind out of your sails, or is that just a mental thing?
No, I totally agree with that as well. There's teams that have momentum, and I think this year more than ever, momentum has played a huge part within games, even within quarters. When you've got the momentum, can you score? When the opposition has got the momentum, can you minimise it, or can they kick in accurately? Which I think has had a huge impact on wins and losses.
Yeah, I agree.
But also week to week. And momentum is, it's a thing. You can't see it, you can't touch it, but you can feel it. And you can obviously result in scoreboard pressure and all those sort of things. So there will be teams and there'll be individuals.
Richmond's the obvious one there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they would have played the day after if they could have. They're happy to play seven days in a row. So I do agree with that as well. But once again, I think it's becoming a skill how you approach the bye. What players have done this weekend, do they give them a weekend off to mentally refresh, to physically refresh?
Yep.
Or do they have a really big hit out to try and simulate that you've played a game without the contact, which is the good part?
Because bangs your body up.
Yep. When you pull up after a game, the soreness is, you know, the tackles, getting up off the ground 20, 30 times a game, all those things that add up to fatigue. But do you need to have that blowout? So I think it's a skill. And I look at someone like, I think Geelong haven't traditionally mid-year buys haven't performed well the following week. So how do they handle this week? Do they have to change something up to hopefully have a better result this weekend?
Do we need to grow up as a competition and look at competition? We do this with everything else we do all over the world. In the NFL, that final couple of weekends, and particularly the last weekend of their regular season, if you want to call it that,
yep.
They'll rest every man, the quarterback, the running back, every man, his dog will be rested if they've got a playoff coming up the following week or the following 2 weeks. They don't care about it. And the fans don't seem to care about it either, because it's big picture stuff.
It's understood. Yeah, I think we're very traditional with AFL football, and that's one part that I do love about it, that we love our tradition. Our game's very unique. We only do things at AFL that no one else does. But I think the landscape is changing, Kev. And I look at free agency, for example, and the acceptance around players coming and going, and your team may lose somebody that you really wanted to keep, but on the flip side, you might have got somebody from another club that they want. So it all goes around, and what goes around will eventually come around. That's my belief in that. I still love the tradition of AFL football, and I'd be interested in your opinion with the NFL. They have the weekend off before their Super Bowl, so the equivalent of our grand final. Is that something that we could look at? I don't know. I'm undecided on that, because I hate it. You would.
What do you hate?
The NFL version?
I don't like the fact. I like the fact. I can understand it from a recovery and the promotion they do is unbelievable for Super Bowl, and they turn it into an event, and it is played in a special city that is set up to run that different dynamic from that point of view. I just want the grand final. Grand final week is. I love grand final week. Brownlow on the Monday night, you know, the parade, everything that leads up to it, and probably hit me more last year than ever before because it was actually involved in it.
Yep.
to have to wait another week for that to start, or to have manufactured events in a week leading up to the week where it actually all is on, not going to work for me.
We'd run out of things to talk about.
Because I reckon this week has struggled a little. As we've got towards the end of the week, we had the All-Australian, had the Rising Star, but we've sort of got to now, and it's like, well,
Legends game Friday night, State of Origin women's last
night. Well, the Legends game on Friday night, is that the most disappointing crowd they've had?
What was the numbers? I was a part of it.
Someone told me
to
about
play.
13,000.
Okay.
Which I think is well down.
Before the game, I heard people in the room speaking, the admin staff, talking maybe 20, 25 is what they were hoping for. I think it has a great...
I have to find out.
And you'll have to quote me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding was it has a great viewing on TV.
Oh, the
great numbers.
Anyway, was telling me the figures yesterday, 350,000.
Was it really?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
That's big.
That is great.
Yeah, that is big.
I agree with you. I'd love to see a few more people there to see the spectacle. I can't encourage anyone to come and watch, because I didn't think we're actually very good at the game. A lot of old men trying to relive their glory days, and you quickly realise
the Torps were the standout highlight.
What about
the...
Jimmy Bartel's Torps?
Hello.
And I said to him coming out of half time, and I've known Jimmy a little bit for a long time, I said, I can't remember you ever doing that in a game.
Good point.
Why didn't you do that? It was very quick. He goes, he played 300 games. He's won 3 flags, apparently. He said, I've done them a few times. I've got a USB stick at home if you need it. I said, well done, well done. I haven't watched every one of those 300 games from Jim, but he shocked me. To be able to still physically do that, and he finished up last year when I did, 12 months ago, if I tried to kick a Torp from 50, my hammy would have gone further than the ball, I think. But he got onto him and he kicked him well.
Happy to take your calls on 9429 1116, your text thoughts on 0499 811 16. It's that horrible part of the year for some players who get the realisation that their career is over.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about it, and that Scotty came around to your house and all that sort of stuff, and you thought you were having a chat about you're renewing your contract, and it was, no, you're not. I'm ready to tell you you're not coming back.
Yeah.
It must be incredibly hard for the coaches. It must be deflating as a player, but I mean, you had a great career. And we talked about this just before we came on air. It's the blokes who don't have a career at this time of the year that I really feel for.
Yeah, there's so many dynamics of this time of year, and the first bit that you look at is the players get 10 weeks holidays. You hear all the really nice things, the players that have got contracts. And I was fortunate enough to just give you a little insight. I went to Nick Revolt's last game and then went into the rooms post the game. And I just said to a few of the current players, said, oh, what do you got planned? Oh, we're going to Hong Kong next week. I said, that's nice. And then we're off to America for a month. I was like, that's right. I said, those days are well and truly gone for me. I forgot it. I said, no wonder they're all smiling. They're all going away for 10 weeks. They're all heading overseas and getting away. But it's a really difficult time of year for so many dynamics. And let's just focus on the coach to start with.
Yeah.
And the coaches, senior coach, assistant coaches, list managers, football managers are all involved this time of year. But then you throw in the medical staff that have got a crazy week to either work out if the boys need operations, what their goals are coming back in 10, 8 weeks' time. Then you look at the coach specifically, and it's their job to find out how players can improve. So you'll often sit in a room and there might be five or six coaches, as I mentioned, those people in the room saying, you know, for example, Dal, 10 weeks off, rest up for 2 or 3 weeks, mentally get away from the game. Then you need to start building up and we need you to come back and do this, this and this. But then you've got the players that don't know. They're walking in there on their first week off and they've had a few beers with the boys, as everyone does. Mm. And their fate is in the coach's hands. And yeah, you hear the great stories about, I mean, this year's 2017's retirees are as good as you'll ever hear. And you hear the sad stories. And Bob Murphy gets carried off. Nick Riewoldt, Matty Prittis is still going. And Sam Mitchell. But some great, great champions. Luke Hodge. These players that are incredible. But then you get the players that have had dreams since they were 5 years old. Like us all. Like the majority of Australian male boys.
Yep.
Now females will have the opportunity as well. This is all they wanted to do was play football and play at the highest level. These kids are 20. 21. Yeah. They've been in the system for 1, 2, or 3 years. And you've got a senior coach, an intimidating coach at times, sitting across from you at a table saying, we appreciate your services at the club. We love the way you tried to go or you went about it. We loved your effort, but you can't do it here and you're not good enough to play this level. It's heartbreaking. Let's put it in perspective. It's football, it's sport, heartbreaking. There's other things that happen in life that are devastating. It is your dream.
Yeah.
So I want to put that in perspective.
Yeah.
It's not life or death.
Yeah.
And please take that in the right context. It's not a health issue. It is a football issue. But it is devastating from a sport perspective and what it means to you. And that's why you see guys get so emotional. And I'm really close with Lee Montagna, who retired last Wednesday. And I was surprised to see him cry in front of the boys. And it just reminded me again about the passion and why we love the game and why it's so hard to finish up.
Yeah.
Joey's played for 16 years. What about the poor kids in all 18 clubs that have played for one or two and never got to play 16 years? So there are so many different dynamics.
Yeah.
The other one is, if you're at a football club and you've got a contract, you could potentially lose your best mate. So it's a unique environment. 45 guys go to training every day. Yeah. It's manufactured, but then it becomes real that you become best mates. And that's just reality. Then you go on holidays together. Then your families become friends. You have kids. But then you're sitting comfortably getting ready to go on a holiday and you look across and your poor mate's just been told he can't do it again. So when do you show empathy and sympathy for him knowing that you're still safe? So there's so many dynamics, but it all comes under the banner of what's best for the football club.
Yep.
And that's the one that I kept in mind, that as disappointed as I was 12 months ago that my career was coming to an end, and I understood, but it was what was best for the footy club. And ultimately, Brent Harvey will come and go, and he's gone. Drew Petrie's the same. I was involved with Robert Harvey, Stuart Lowe, Nick Riewoldt. St Kilda's not going anywhere. North Melbourne's not going anywhere. So it's whatever's best for the footy club.
Yep.
And that's what you need to keep in mind, unfortunately.
Realistically, how hard was it? What was harder? Finishing your career up, leaving the Saints, or what was the harder of those two?
That's a really good question. I've never thought, wow. Both were really emotional.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Because I was so close with the St Kilda boys and still am. And
so you still are?
Still am. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think if anything, going to North Melbourne for 3 years, and I loved my time there, absolutely loved it. And we tried hard, you know, two prelims and then a first final in my third year. I actually felt like it almost weaned me off football, because initially it's not having your mates. So I did that for 3 years. I didn't get to see my best mates for 3 years. So I felt like that was a small step of finishing football.
Yeah.
And then last year was not seeing my North Melbourne mates and then not being a part of the system, not being allowed to go out and compete. And it's an amazing feeling being told or having the mentality that you're not allowed to go back to the football club. And you're like, I've been
It's different from an injury, isn't it?
Yeah,
totally different
but
mental.
But I've been going there every day for 12 years at St Kilda, 3 years at North Melbourne. And then you're told or have the feeling, I can't go there anymore. I don't go there and train. So then what do I do? And now I'm not allowed to compete on a weekend. And that's what you loved doing. So there's just so many little dynamics in getting delisted, retiring, you know, and then just how does it feel inside and what does it mean for you as a person?
And you know the difference? And I've been in the radio industry for a long, long time. Yours is very public.
Yeah.
Everything that happens to you, whether it's delisting, whether it's an injury, whether it's whatever it is, it's there. And it's reported by 600 blokes in, you know, different media organisations around the country.
That's true. And the other one that living in Melbourne, and I'm sure there's... Oh. And probably more, and so we'll say Melbourne, Adelaide, and probably Perth in particular. If you go get a coffee and you're semi-known, and you know you could play a few years, you can't get away from it. People are going to ask you how you feel. Oh, you just got delisted. And it's not the public being rude. It's actually the public showing interest.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're grabbing a coffee at your local cafe. How do you feel? You just got delisted. I feel great. I mean, it feels so nice that I don't have a job like this. But that's what's actually really nice and the pure things about football still, that you can have those conversations.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. Nick Del Santo's in the studio with me. Happy to take your calls, 9429 1116. Or your text thoughts, 0433 98 1116. Sunday Sports Central.